The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
1206, Newstalk 97.3, Cairo FM. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you can be with us on this Thursday afternoon. And we have an awful lot to get to here, including, I just heard the soundbite that Heather had in her newscast with a teacher in Monroe saying, I will not put my kids at risk simply for the sake of academics. I don't know if our teachers have become that brainwashed that they actually believe it. I know the teachers' union is pushing for remote learning because I know some teachers disagree with me on this. A lot of teachers agree it's much easier than going into school every single day. But the toll on our kids right now is incalculable. And I've heard so many stories. In fact, let me just dive right into this. Let's get into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
I opened the show yesterday with an email that I got from a dad. His 12-year-old daughter's best friend had taken her own life. And the dad told me that this little girl's mom had passed away a few years ago. Her fantastic father had to work to bring in money for the family. And that turned this little girl into a latchkey kid. And so she was sitting at home every single day. They were expecting that she would sit on her computer for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a day doing her work, but there's no safety net, especially for all these kids whose parents have to work to make ends meet. And so this little girl had 60 missed assignments, and she took her own life. And this dad explained how devastating it was for his 12-year-old daughter and for everybody who loved this girl. But isolating kids is not healthy. And I've heard from some other families, and I'm going to be somewhat oblique because there's one particular instance that I heard about where they don't want the details out. But I know of another kid who took their life and, you know, new to the school, hadn't had a chance to make friends yet, hadn't had a chance to participate in any extracurriculars, and was just sitting at home in front of a computer screen. Local kid, local family. This is mentally destroying our kids, what we're doing here. And I truly cannot understand. You know, every politician is telling us how it must be. You know, back in New York, Andrew Cuomo, they were going to send kids back to school, and then they said, no, we're going to keep them at home. And a reporter asked the governor, Andrew Cuomo, about the schools, and he started, the governor did, with a very condescending, low tone toward this reporter.
So what's going on? Does the city still have the ability to close its schools? Are you now taking control and saying that you have the power to make this decision? And for the millions of parents who want to know, are the schools going to open tomorrow in New York City?
All right. First of all, let's try not to be obnoxious and offensive in your tone, because you're 100% wrong. These laws have all been in effect for months. I've always said, we set initial parameters, and then the school district picked a percent within those parameters. New York City picked 3%. We announced the Orange Zone law over a month ago. I don't know if you were here or if you were paying attention.
Wow. How condescending. And he accused the reporter of being obnoxious. And the reporter said, well, what you're saying just doesn't make any sense. So explain it to us. And that's when it got heated.
If you were paying attention, You would have known we closed the schools in New York City 2 weeks ago. Remember when we did an orange zone and a red zone in Brooklyn and Queens? And we closed the schools? Don't you remember that?
It was 3 weeks ago.
Okay, so what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're now going to override. We did it already. That's the law. An orange zone and a red zone. Follow the facts.
I'm still confused.
Well, then you're confused.
I'm confused. And
then I'll tell you what you mean.
Parents are still confused as well. The schools
are confused. They're not confused.
Tomorrow.
You're confused.
No, I think parents read the are law. Very confused as well.
Read the law, and you won't be confused.
But Governor, to follow Jim's question, are the schools going to be open tomorrow?
The schools are open by state law.
When will they be open tomorrow? That's the question. I think Jimmy's correct in asking that question. I don't think it's obnoxious at all.
Well, I don't really care what you think. Of course, you agree with him because you're in the same business with him.
Now, Andrew Cuomo gets a free pass on that because he's a Democrat. If Donald Trump responded to reporters like that, it would have been, oh my gosh, listen to how combative Donald Trump is. But Andrew Cuomo is a Democrat, and so he has largely gotten a free pass. But the bottom line is, nobody understands what's happening with the schools. And what we do know is that kids, if they are exposed to the coronavirus, they're not going to get sick. They're not going to die. In California, they have, 40 million people and two under the age of 18 have had serious effects from the coronavirus. Two out of 40 million people. But what we do know is that kids are committing suicide. They are overdosing. I got an email. I got an incredible response after my topic yesterday about the little girl who took her life. A dad shared with us a letter from his 10th grade son that he sent to his school district and superintendent about how they've changed the dates again for high school sports and they keep moving the goalpost. And he asked me to keep the kid's name and the school district confidential, which I will. But here's what this 10th grade boy wrote to his school district and superintendent. Sports is everything to me. It helps me make new friends and develop bonds that'll last a lifetime. It also takes me away from the stress of school, especially online. Instead of thinking when my next assignment is due, I'm thinking of the next play. When we had practice, it was incredibly fun. I always had something to look forward to, and I felt like I had a schedule and routine again. Now that we cannot practice, I find myself looking at my phone for hours on end with nothing to do and nowhere to go. This is not only affecting my day-to-day life, but it's affecting my future as well. One of my main goals that I have set out to do is get a D1 scholarship. With no sophomore year, it's very hard for me to improve and get better. The loss of this year could affect if I go to college, what kind of job I choose, and how successful I am. Another main reason I play football is to make friends. In practice, we can socialize and plan other events to get to know each other better. These kids, which without football I would not know, could possibly end up in my wedding and stay with me until I grow old. I love that this kid's thinking about his wedding party when he's in the 10th grade. That's great. He said, with football, I will always have a goal, something to get better at, something to improve. Now that we don't have it, it feels like the days are repeating themselves and the only changes are what Netflix show I watch. There are no competitions, no sprints, no pushing yourself to keep running when you want to throw up, as well as no goals. There are no rewards. There's nothing like winning a football game and celebrating with all your friends, or finally being able to start after years of work. Football isn't just a game for me. It's a purpose. It's a goal. And it's my future. So that's from a local 10th grade kid. Now, The kid that I know, the most recent story of a kid that took their life, they had moved from another district, and they didn't have any friends yet. Man, the fastest way to make friends is with extracurriculars. For me, since I was too young to play sports in high school, I gravitated to drama. And I had a group of five other friends, three guys including me, three girls. And we did everything together my last couple years in high school. And it was a peer group that was incredibly important to me and really helped shape a crucial period in my life. Can you imagine being a kid, especially if you're new to an area and you're hoping that drama or band or sports will give you a group of peers, and instead you don't have any local friends, you don't have any connections, and you're supposed to sit in front of a laptop for 6 hours a day? This is, as I've said many, many times, the cure is far worse than the disease. And I am shocked at how local officials are ignoring the emotional and mental toll that this is taking on our kids. I'm shocked at the hypocrisy where Governor Inslee says, no Thanksgiving, no Christmas this year. But then we find out that politicians from our state, not Inslee, but politicians from our state, according to Politico, have traveled to an oceanfront resort on Maui, paid for by lobbyists, so that they can give away more of your tax dollars. They can be bribed in an oceanfront setting. They just told us, CBS News, right at the top of the hour, don't travel this holiday season. Just stay where you are, unless you're a politician. And then if a lobbyist wants to pay for you to go to an oceanfront resort on Maui and bribe you, and you can take the taxpayers' money and funnel it to those who have bribed you, well, then you can do that, because that's far more important than any health concerns. You have the governor of California, who has also said, no Thanksgiving, no Christmas. But as we talked about yesterday, he goes out to dinner with 12 friends at one of the most expensive restaurants in the world. He lied about it being outdoors. We saw the pictures last night that were taken. The outdoor restaurant had walls and a ceiling and a chandelier hanging over the table. It's kind of strange, after Gavin Newsom told us that it was outdoors, but he got caught.
The program started at 4 o'clock. It was one of those early reservations. I got there a little bit late at 4:30. And as soon as I sat down at the larger table, I realized it was a little larger group than I had anticipated. And I made a bad mistake. Instead of sitting down, I should have stood up and walked back, got in my car, and drove back to my house. Instead, I chose to sit there with my wife and a number of other couples that were outside the household. You can quibble about the guidelines, et cetera, but the spirit of what I'm preaching all the time was contradicted, and I got to own that. And so I want to apologize to you because I need to preach and practice, not just preach and not practice. And I've done my best to do that.
Stinking hypocrites. You know who else was at that table with his wife? The head of the California Medical Association. So what do they know? What does the governor know? What does the head of the state medical association know, that they will sit down at a table with people from other households, people from six different households at an indoor restaurant? They're willing to risk their lives so that they can have a big celebration for a lobbyist? Or are they just lying to you and me when they tell us about these restrictions that we have to place on our families? Here's how it should be. They should give us recommendations, but these mandates have to go because the mandates are for the little people, for you, for me, for government. Let's go to Maui. Let's go to the most expensive restaurant in the world. The governor of Oregon, Kate Brown, has said that if they get evidence that people from different households are gathering for Thanksgiving and Christmas, law enforcement may come into your home and take you to jail. This is the state that's allowed nightly rioting for months and months and months. They didn't have any fear of the coronavirus if it was all about screaming horrible things about cops, about smashing windows and throwing bricks, throwing Molotov cocktails. That was all fine. But if you have Thanksgiving dinner with your adult children who don't live with you, they may come into your house and take you to jail. America is fast disappearing. And if we're willing to give up this level of our rights because of a health crisis, then I don't know if we deserve any of our other rights. You got to stand up. You got to be strong. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
In fact, I'm going to talk right after we check the news for you with a restaurant owner in our state who is openly defying the governor. I don't know what's going to happen to the guy, but he's going to tell us why. Coming up next as we get rolling here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, for the last several days, we've been hearing from politicians that we have to shut down our lives, shut down our businesses, our restaurants. We have to shut down Thanksgiving and Christmas. But we also recognize that they do not live what they are telling us to do. Down in California, the governor, Gavin Newsom, goes to a dinner party with a bunch of his buddies. In our state, some lawmakers reportedly, according to Politico, went to Hawaii for an oceanfront conference sponsored by lobbyists. You see, they just want us to follow the rules. They don't want to follow their own rules themselves. And that's why a lot of people are rebelling. There's a little restaurant over in Kennewick, Washington, Coco's Bartini, and they say that they are going to engage in civil disobedience and not close down during the mandated government shutdown. And the owner of Coco's Bartini is Dana Slovak, who joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Dana, good to talk to you, sir.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's start with, how tough has this year been for all restaurant owners like yourself, just from the first lockdown last spring to this latest announcement?
Well, in March, when we had a shutdown, there was a few restaurants that couldn't make it. We were living on a shoestring. I had let my employees go home, going good on unemployment, stuff like that. Well, it was okay in the beginning. Then they started screwing around with the unemployment, and they were going, we need to open back up. So we started doing to-go meals with the first responders out here and helping them out with sandwiches. My chef was making some great sandwiches out here, so we did that. But it was hurting. It was bad. I mean, I almost closed the doors. You know, just, you know, it's one of those times you can't sleep at night. You're going like, okay, what am I going to do? You know, I can't pay the employees. We're living on a shoestring budget. You know, the yield's not that much in the restaurant business, and yeah, it was pretty tough. You know, the DOR still wanted their tax money, and the LNI still wanted their stuff, ESD still wanted their stuff. You know, everybody wanted their payments. You know, and so it was really tough.
Yeah, everyone was getting paid except for you, and so
right.
They told us last spring, if everybody sucks it up for 3 weeks, we'll flatten the curve and we'll get past this. And that's not exactly the way it's worked out, it seems.
No, it hasn't, because they keep pushing the goalposts back. And they keep, you know, a mask here, hand sanitizer. We sanitize our tables and stuff like this. We keep everything extra clean, which we normally do anyway. So every time they push a goalpost back, we just look at us ourselves and go, we got to fight this. We just got to fight this now. We're, you know, my chef came out and said, we got to fight to the death because we're going to go down. Might as well go down, you know, with a fight.
Okay, and so you've gone on social media and you're telling your customers that you are going to defy the governor and you're going to have inside dining, and that's how you're going to fight this. You're making a stand, it sounds like.
Well, it is a peaceful protest. If we call it a peaceful protest, they can't shut us down. So last night was our first night of the peaceful protest, and we had hundreds of people show up. I mean, we're a small place, and so we were slammed last night. I mean, I was just running my butt off in the restaurant last night, too. So we probably should have needed another person, but we were pretty well hammered with business, and so we got everybody satisfied. Everybody was in complete support, you know, saying, you know, yeah, you guys stay open. We support you, stuff like that. And then I get the haters on Facebook, too, so, you know, on the social media. So I just ignore that. Because I'm supporting my customers that come out to see us.
I love that you called it a protest, because in Seattle, Olympia, all around the state, there have been riots on an almost nightly basis, many of them unmasked, many of them standing shoulder to shoulder in the street, and our government doesn't have the will or the interest to shut those people down. They just want to shut down good, hardworking business owners like yourself.
And taxpayers.
Yeah.
And the thing, yeah, and Governor Inslee, you know, turns the other cheek when they're burning down Seattle, and I'm looking at this, and my employees are looking at this and go, this is not right. You know, why is he turning his cheek on the rioters when he's shutting us down? That's not fair. So we got a couple of the restaurants out here that are getting behind us. A law firm is going to be reaching out to me per bono for a lot of restaurants out here to get together, and he's going to help fight the LNI violations that are probably coming down the road. You know, so we're expecting that stuff. You know, everything is up to date with my business. So we're standing by to get nailed with a bunch of laws or a bunch of fines. So we'll just throw them out. You know, we're only open between 4 and 9. And the customers, I keep telling them, if anybody comes in there, lock this, point at them and start yelling, get out. You know, it's our peaceful protest. So
so you said that you encouraged everyone to bring signs. What did some of those signs say? At least what you can share on the radio with me.
Right. Yeah. Well, a lot of people didn't bring them in yesterday, but we're telling them from our Facebook page to bring in signs tonight. But I did make some up at my house here with cardstock, and it just said, keep Tri-Cities open. And in the girls in the living room area, where we have, if you go to our website, you'll see that on there, the couch and everything else like that. They drink martinis at. And they were just, people were coming in and, yeah, we support you guys. All right. So, you know, they're flashing the signs that I gave them the play around with, so you know, it was kind of fun last night.
Okay, and since you're going so public with this, the governor's probably going to come after you. And I know you said you'll just throw out the fines, but are you ready? You ready for the battle if he comes after you and tries to destroy your profession?
Well, yes, because there's other restaurants out here, like I said, they're grouping together, and we have. Matter of fact, I heard that the four mayors out here from the Tri-Cities plus Benton have written a letter to Governor Inslee saying, this is ridiculous, open us back up, stuff like that. So the mayors out here also have discontent for Governor Inslee. So
I love it.
We have a lot of customer support, and they're just loving us. So,
well, I just think that people, like I said, we have lawmakers going to conferences in Hawaii. We have governors who are shutting down their state, and yet they go to fancy dinners with all their buddies. They don't believe a word they're telling all of us. So if they don't believe it, I mean, that California governor, Gavin Newsom, sitting two seats down from him, was the head of the California Medical Association, indoors without a mask. If they don't fear this, why in the world are they shutting everybody else down?
Right, they're supposed to be setting an example, and they're not. So the example they're setting is, hey, if we're doing it, you can do it. So that's what I see.
There you
go. If they're doing it, we're going to do it. You know, so hey, it's so ridiculous, but we're here to fight it. And gosh, maybe the president of the United States will come out and visit us. We love Trump.
a little civil disobedience. All right.
That's right.
Dana, it's good talking with you. Let's stay in touch. I want to hear how things go for you guys, okay?
Thank you, Dory. Appreciate it. Just follow us on Facebook.
There you go.
Coco's Bartini, KOKOS.
Okay, Coco's Bartini in Kennewick, Dana Slovak. Dana, all my best to you. Take care. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, love to hear what you think about this civil disobedience. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. President Trump continues to challenge the election results. Things are really funky down in Georgia, where every day, you know, 2 weeks later, they're finding thousands of ballots in various counties around Georgia. And most of those ballots have favored Donald Trump. So he's actually eaten away at Joe Biden's lead down in Georgia. Wisconsin, they're challenging. Michigan, they've been challenging. In Michigan, it's mainly because poll watchers weren't allowed. And there were several vote drops where Biden's vote win was identical in a variety of different drops. I mean, it's a statistical impossibility. But I want to talk about hypocrisy. And I'm going to talk about the hypocrites in our region. Because I've heard so many people in our region say, hey, come on, Trump, you lost. Give it up. The voters have spoken. The voters cast more votes for Joe Biden. Where was that outcry when the voters had spoken and cast more votes for $30 car tabs? And yet the same hypocrites who are really upset that Donald Trump is pursuing court challenges over a presidential election, they don't seem to have been that upset that Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson and Sound Transit spent a year pursuing court challenges of $30 car tabs. Can anyone explain that to me? Why are you perfectly fine with the court challenging the will of the voters here in Washington, but you are apoplectic that Donald Trump is going to the courts to try to challenge a presidential election? And the only answer, there is no other answer, is that anybody who has those two viewpoints is a hypocrite. There's no other possible explanation. And so everyone was just, oh, ho-hum. Okay, courts threw out our vote. We'll just keep paying $400-$500 a year. And then what does the Seattle City Council do? They come along this week and they say, hey, you know what? We're going to add $20 to the cost of car tabs to pay for bridge repair. It's like, let's just stand everybody up in a row and we will just slap every one of you in the face as hard as we can. And people are so lackadaisical about this, about the courts overturning the will of the voters. I mean, Trump isn't trying to overturn the will of the voters. He's just trying to make sure that only legal ballots are getting counted. Here in our state, the courts literally overturn the will of the voters. And then the politicians come along and say, yeah, we know that you, four times now have voted for $30 car tabs, but we're going to even add more. So what do you do? You know, as I've mentioned, none of my daughters drives an extravagant car. They all drive older vehicles. You know, they're all in first, second jobs and trying to save money so that they can get a place of their own someday. And they're trying to be frugal. And then here comes Bob Ferguson and the criminal racket that is Sound Transit. And they say, hey, forget about your vote. Forget about all of the other voters. We're going to keep collecting $300, $400 a year in car tabs. And two of my girls live in Seattle. And then the Seattle City Council says, oh, yeah, we're going to add an extra $20 to pay for bridge repair. I just wanted to illustrate the sheer hypocrisy that most people around here are furious that Trump is challenging a vote. And most people around here seem to be perfectly fine with a year-long challenge of a vote that ends up costing families thousands of dollars. That is what you call hypocrisy. Yeah, quick time out, check the news, and then Fast 15 coming up next.